Warning, listener caution is advised. The following broadcast contains bad language and bad grammar and probably bad spelling, which is frankly an achievement for audio content.
You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Did you know you can listen to the recording of this podcast live? As it happens, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn how.
This is the Small Screen Spoiler Show, where we discuss and spoil your favorite television shows. So if you have not watched what we're discussing, you might want to come back later. This is your final
spoiler warning!
I got to warn you, you're doomed to stay. Go. Go.
1, 2, 3, go!
That's right. Once again, folks, it is Tuesday night. That means it is time for a Small Screen Spoiler Show. Daryl, why are you not asleep? This Small Screen Spoiler Show, episode number 41. I am, of course, CJ Optical Migraine Boat. And that guy over there is, of course, my partner in crime. My number one partner, guy who will always have my back, even if he has to talk to a crime boss himself and act very badly while doing it, Jared, you're only one bad day from being me as a veto.
It is a bad day from being you. There's something.
Yes, you are one bad day away from being me, and that is probably statistically true.
I could probably make that work with anyone and someone else, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, but I mean, as close as we are as people... You know, I think legitimately, if you just have a string of really horrible days, you can just wind up being me. I don't recommend that, by the way.
It would take a string of horrible days, you think?
Yeah, I think maybe, or maybe just one really bad day, like really super bad day. It's weird, my computer just made a noise. I have no idea where that noise came from. But... That's neither here nor there. Tonight's shows are Daredevil Season 2, Episode 3, New York's Finest, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 14, Warchdorgs, Gotham Season 2, Episode 16, Prisoners, Better Call Saul Season 2, Episode 7, Inflatable.
Inflatable.
So I'm going to hold off here Yes, Daryl, I'm doing the show right now. Oh, yes. Audio content usually comes from Daryl Nerd Herd Shaler.
We only got one for some reason, somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Don't know what happened. We only got one.
Internet failed or something.
If he can somehow box it over to me while the show's going, I'll put it in there. If not, listen to the podcast for the things. It's a shame because I want to laugh at Daryl's things, especially his thing that we're going to talk about later. But that is neither here nor there. Let's go ahead and jump right on into the Bat Devil.
Daredevil. But before we get started and jump into Daredevil, I want to pitch a new show that I have, an idea. All right?
All right.
So all you movie producers out there, listen closely. Now, you're all familiar with Seinfeld's show, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, right?
Yes.
It's like a web series.
You're the voice of the internet. I'm the voice of Hollywood producers, by the way. Carry on.
Yeah. Right.
Yes,
so,
of course.
You know, you have Seinfeld, he picks up some random comedian, and they... in a car, and they drive around, drink coffee, and have a funny conversation.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of something like this for the Marvel Universe, and I want to call it Punisher Yelling at Superheroes on a Rooftop, where we just have random superheroes just rotate out and just have the Punisher sit on the rooftop and yell at them, and I think that would be the most amazing thing ever.
Brilliant! Brett, here's $30 million!
Sweet. It would be low budget, too, I mean.
Yes.
You just got to get the people there. I mean, you got to pay for Chris Hemsworth to show up, but come on. You know you want Punisher yelling at Thor.
God,
we all want that to happen.
That's so bad now that you mention it. I mean, first season, since we have to introduce everybody, I have an idea. Let's just go ahead and start with the established characters that we're already paying for. We can have Luke Cage up there and have them yell at Luke Cage. And Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that'd be a good start.
And then Kingpin, because Iron Fist isn't fully done filming yet.
Right.
And then when it is, though, Iron Fist will be up there.
Oh, yeah. We'll rotate them all through, you know. Just get them in there, get a nice yelling of Punisher, you know, so they know who they are and what Punisher sees them as and what the audience sees it as, and just call it all out, hang a lantern on them, and, you know.
Exactly.
Maybe hit him with a chain just for a good measure.
Just for giggles. So, yes, this has a 9.6 on IMDb, and I kind of agree with that score.
Yeah.
This show was fucking amazing, guys. Seriously. This was such a good episode.
75% of it was just, you know, the Punisher and Daredevil sitting on a rooftop yelling at each other, and I loved it.
Yes.
Like, I want that all the time.
Oh, my God. This was just such a... I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah, there was very little action in this except for the hallway scene part two.
Part two. And stairwell. Even then, I was like, that was cool, I guess, but... It was really the rest of the episode that I loved so much.
That character development and again, it's the same thing I had with Kingpin. You give me a Punisher-centric episode, and everything is so much freaking better.
Especially when he's yelling at Daredevil.
It does get infinitely better when he's yelling at Daredevil. All right, hold on. Here's Daryl's Daredevil. Hold on. I got it. Hold on.
Oh, we got it.
Got it.
Daredevil Episode 3. Okay, guys, everyone loved the hallway fight scene in the first season. Original, gritty, hard-hitting, great use of a single shot. What do we have for this season? What? Something different and untested? You're fired! I want hallway fight scene part 2, and they make it longer, and have badly hidden cuts, and put in some CGI and Sons of Anarchy or something. I don't know, I'm not here to run Netflix and wipe your asses.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the cuts did bother me. Like, the last one was... I think there was like one cut in the last hallway fight scene, but they did a really good job of hiding it. But this one, they didn't hide them well at all.
No, and they do the panning to the wall. That is a cheap way of getting around a single shot cut, because there's nothing moving.
Like one of the thugs fly across the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just like a silhouette moving across.
Exactly. When there's physically nothing moving on the screen, you can cut it quickly and nothing will be there. You obviously just keep the camera where it is, cut it, repaste it back in it, and it will continue to move. That's a textbook way of getting to the one-shot sequences. Don't get me wrong. I freaking loved the Sons of Anarchy versus Daredevil and his chains fight. That was so cool.
Like, I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying I was kind of sad that the Punisher wasn't on the rooftop yelling at Daredevil anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That ended and just like, there's a hole in my life and I need it back.
I seriously want that show to be real.
God, it's so good. I mean, I raved about episode 4 of season 1 being, you know, Kingpin and everything like that, and this one being almost full Punisher. Just, oh, God, it's so good. And of course, we can't forget our favorite sidekick with Foggy, and we got Night Nurse back and kind of dropped her back, kind of dropped the name of it, too. I'm looking for a nurse. She works the night shift.
I think, usually. She's probably here.
I'm absolutely in love with the fact that she is our connecting tie between the universes.
Oh yeah, and we got the Jessica Jones reference dropped in there too.
Stronger than our friend, and the look on Foggy's face was just like, "What?" My question is, how did an attorney not hear about what happened with the New York PD at the freaking shipyard that happened not so long ago?
Oh yeah, that whole,
because that was on the news. They made a point of showing that on the news.
And that bar in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Just exploding. How do they not know about that? In fact, where was Matt when this thing was exploding?
For real.
Since obviously they're chronological. We just found out in this episode they're chronological, because she didn't appear in Jessica Jones until the end. So, like, I mean, sure, some of Jessica Jones could have been happening during Daredevil. But those last three episodes, when Night Nurse was there, obviously took place after Daredevil.
Yeah, she knew Daredevil. She talked about her friend.
So, like, where was Daredevil when all this crap with Murder Corps was going on?
Seems like he'd get in on that.
Yeah. Kilgrave.
Yeah. I don't like this.
Sorry. That's the Avengers mentality, too. I like how they kind of addressed it in the Avengers, like in Iron Man 3 with that.
Yeah, and Ant-Man.
Yeah.
The first things we should do is call the Avengers.
I mean, it's so they address it well in the movies, but this just has that gaping hole in it that I'm just now thinking about.
Don't think about it too much. Let's move on.
No, yeah. The hospital scene was really cool, though.
It was fantastic.
Watching Foggy once again being a verbal badass.
Yes, Foggy is so much cooler than Matt.
He really is.
He's such a better lawyer than Matt is. Man.
So better.
Daredevil's cool and all. He's great at punching people.
With chains and guns, as we found out in this episode.
Taped to his hands.
That was so absurdly awesome.
Like, what?
I have a gun taped to my hands.
A gun duct taped to my hand.
Even Dale would watch the roof yelling show.
Oh, is Dale in the chat?
Dale's in the chat. Live, or geek-io.net/live, or .com/live, since we got that back from the Japanese porn site.
Dun, 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 dun.
It will just redirect you to .net/live, but, you know, if you want to go to .com, you're free to do so now.
It works. Yes. So that's all that really matters.
It does, yes. It won't direct you to a Japanese porn site yet. I can't promise anything in the future. Also, I can't promise that I'm not just going to put up Japanese porn on the site. Just putting that out there. But
gigs,
yeah.
And gigs.
So, yes. Yeah, just the rooftop just explaining everything about the Punisher. Like, it did feel a little kind of heavy-handed in some places, like overly explaining him, but I get it. You didn't want to have... I don't think you really want to have as much emotional attachment to the Punisher as you do with Wilson Fisk. But we're going to get the Punisher's backstory. That's all going to happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There will be Sonic Comics. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, we're going to get that episode.
On the rooftop?
Yes, and the sooner that it comes, the better, because I just want to kind of see them continue to interact, and I'm kind of disappointed that his arc is only half a season, because I really like John Berthold as the Punisher. He's really good.
I didn't know it was only half a season. Thanks for spoiling that.
From what I've heard, because I listen to other spoiling shows that don't like Foggy, so we don't speak their name. that the Punisher arc is only half season.
All right, cool.
And then we get into the Electro Hand thing,
which I'm all ready for that too.
Oh yeah, man.
I really don't have many notes on this episode though, because I was just so entranced by it.
Well, I mean, legitimately,
I couldn't look away.
Yes, but I mean, legitimately, there's not a lot you could note on this. I mean, it was like a giant dialogue scene with exploding bikes and then punching people with chains. And then a hospital scene. I mean, that's the show. It was just one giant dialogue piece.
Yeah, I guess we covered it all. It's
yeah, like we're good. Thing. We're good here. Even though not much happened. 9.6. This was incredible. Yes, absolutely. 9.6. Most definitely.
Rooftop scene, which I want to be its own show. The hospital thing where Foggy was awesome and Rosario Dawson was there. So that's always better.
Yes.
Makes things better. There was also random thugs yelling at each other about random things
that the Punisher got them to fight each other
ripping
about.
A dude ripping a bed rail off
that was pretty cool. That's not feasible at all, but you know, that's really cool.
It's like, you've done time, you have a tattoo on your face, so clearly
you know what prison food tastes like.
Yeah, you know about prison. So if you stab this dude in front of 12 witnesses, two of which are cops.
I'm your pro bono call. That won't even serve you if you end up stabbing this guy. So let's just shut up and work this out.
Let's just work this out.
Foggy, best lawyer in Hell's Kitchen.
No doubt. So much better than
also worst district attorney ever.
Yeah, no, that district attorney's evil.
She really is. Got Karen's arch nemesis in the district attorney. I did like the conclusion of the storyline with Guapo or whatever his name was.
Grotto,
there we go. They're like, yep, we just can't have this line dangling. Bang!
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Guapo's dead.
Not for a second did I think that was not going to happen.
No, at all.
Punisher gets his man.
Yes, I mean, he is the Punisher. That is his thing. He punishes the bad guys. I mean, and he kind of, I mean, yes, he does inhabit everything from the 90s, even to this day. You know, we have to kill the bad guys because that's what we do. And there's always a diametrically opposed person, whether it be Spider-Man, Daredevil, you know, it doesn't matter, but there's always going to be that no-kill superhero. But then you have, I mean, to be honest, yeah, it does stuff to your soul, but I'm kind of agreeing with the Punisher. Like, statistically speaking, I mean, stuff that happens in the hospital, that happened in this hospital scene, that's pretty much statistically more proven than what we'll get to what fake prisoners are like here in a couple of shows. God. Yeah.
Yeah, what?
I'm holding my fake prisoner rant. I'm holding it. There's a rant there, so, trust me.
So this is an awesome episode.
Yes.
I don't have much else to say about it other than that. And also on that rooftop, Punisher yelling at superheroes on rooftops, I'd like to maybe see if we can work out some kind of cross-universe deal, because I want him to yell at Superman and Batman also.
God, yes!
Flash and Arrow.
All of the Flashes, by the way. Like, the yeah, the Ezra Miller Flash, the singing guy from Glee Flash, I want all of them. He's just yelling at all of them. And I mean, while we're at it, we don't even need to stop there. I mean, we can have him yell at Vertigo people too. We can have him yell at iZombie and Lucifer. I want to see the Punisher yell at Lucifer.
Let's make it happen.
All right. So yeah, I mean, there's not much to talk about on this, so we're just gonna go ahead and move on. Great episode. Just not a lot to talk about.
No, just watch it because it's awesome.
Yes, it's so good. All right, Agents of Shield. Yeah, have measures.
Because he's Mike now.
Yes. I can actually imagine him in like 30 years being Mike Ehrmantraut. But a show Mike Ehrmantraut isn't on, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Watch Dogs, 9.7 on IMDb, and I think that's actually kind of low. I liked this episode.
No, for 7.9. You said 9.7. I was like, what?
Oh, did I say 9.7? Oh, sorry. You did. Listexia. I apologize. Okay.
7.9.
7.9, that's actually kind of low. I'd give it a solid, you know, 8.85.
Yeah, I still thought this was a solid episode.
It was a lot of fun. Like, it's a Mac-centric episode, so, I mean, of course it's going to be awesome.
Yes, and we got a Howard Stark callback. We got a tie into Agent Carter.
Ish.
A little bit. Ish. Season 1 Agent Carter.
There you go.
So I, like, saw everything implode, and I was like, oh, Zero Matter? Oh, this is nitramine. Howard Stark's invention. I was like, oh, right, she blew up that whole factory with that in the season.
Yeah, and then, but no.
Okay, fine. I wanted it to be Zero Matter.
It's a callback, but it's not the callback.
No. But it's something.
Am I the only one who completely forgot who the hell that S.H.I.E.L.D. agent was?
No, I remembered who he was because he's the man in black from Lost.
Oh, well, there you go.
You know, as it was coming up and it was like listing out the guest stars and Titus Wolver.
Oh, sorry.
Titus Welver, or however you pronounce his name, popped up. I was like, I thought he died.
Apparently he die? Not.
No, he just got his spine broken. Okay, sure.
Yeah, there you go. Got.
And now he's angry.
Very angry Hydra S.H.I.E.L.D. man. So, yeah, I mean, this episode, it was a lot of fun. You got to see some pair-ups you don't typically get to see happen. Lincoln and Coulson. Buddy copying it, which is kind of great to watch.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. Coulson picking people's brains.
Coulson actually, you know, being logical instead of flying off the handles. Like, I have no idea who the hell you actually are. So, Yeah.
You're just going to hang with me for a little while.
You're with me because I have no idea who you are. Thank you, Coulson, for being rational. You got Fitz being a badass in this episode again, man. Fitz being so great in this episode.
Yes. Confused, sad-faced Fitz. He's like, I don't know if I like this. I think Mac is right, but I guess I'm going to go along for now until I get shot in the neck with nitramine.
Yeah. Like, you can't kill Fitz. No, stop it. Stop threatening Fitz's life, damn it.
Don't you implode on me, Fitz. You stay right where you are.
I will drop this show if Fitz dies. I'm serious.
Nope, done.
I mean, I could sit through Game of Thrones. I could sit through Breaking Bad. No, you kill Fitz and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm done. I'm out.
We're done. Out. Done.
I don't care if you turn him into a robot, anything like that. Cool. Just quit trying to kill Fitz. Oh, leave wait. Fitz alone. Since it's not normal, I forgot to play the thing. Hey, we have a thing. Wait, it's the wrong thing. Damn it, I closed the show notes.
Whoops.
That one's the thing. Play the thing!
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Episode 14. Shotgun axe. Shotgun axe. Shotgun fucking axe. And I was going to leave it there, but they did have a very nice reference to Agent Carter with the nitramine. Other than that, shotgun fucking axe, you get the idea.
Yep, pretty much.
Also, you forgot to mention Civil War.
Yeah, Civil War had more of a tie-in to Age of Ultron than we got when Age of Ultron was actually relevant. Like, there was actually consequences for Age of Ultron. No, who knew?
Yeah. But I just, like, you know, immediately starts up with the news thing, and it's like, we want a list of all the superheroes. And I was like, oh, wow, we're jumping right into that.
Yay!
Okay.
So it looks like we are going to get a turn level tie-in to Civil War, and I'm completely good with that. We've been through this.
Yeah, you think the Watch Dogs will show up in Civil War?
I don't know if the Watch Dogs will show up in Civil War, but I'm fairly sure the registration list will show up in S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, the Watch Dogs obviously are not done. By the end of this episode, you know the Watch Dogs are not done.
No. They're still kicking, and they have some kind of missile thing.
It's a nuke.
That's,
again, everybody has nukes.
Bad. It's a nuke?
It's a nuke. Be
Why
careful.
Does have nukes? Where
Whitney
nukes
Frost is
going to
jump and like start humping that nuke. That's what Whitney Frost does to nukes, right?
Does Whitney Frost have the nukes?
Yes, she has the ukes and the nukes all in her pants. The Punisher half is half a season, but it's half a season spread unevenly through the full 13 episodes. He's there at the end, according to Daryl, by the way.
That's all that really matters.
Yes. Yes,
Hi,
do
Dale.
The thing!
Why are you awake?
Thank you, Dale. Julie, do the thing! For any of you Legend of Korra watchers. By the way, one of the greatest shows I've ever watched.
It's on my want-to-watch list.
Oh, no,
it's on
dude.
Amazon Prime.
It needs to be on your need-to-watch list, because seriously, it is one of the best shows I have ever, ever seen.
I know. I love the original Avatar, Last Airbender.
Then,
I adore that show.
Then, now we know what your challenge show is going to be when you're done catching up with Flash and Arrow.
I know, but that's going to take so long. I just want to go ahead and watch Korra.
Okay, then watch Agent of Korra. I'm good with
Agent
this.
Of Korra?
Yes, Agent of Korra. That's another show I kind of want to watch. All right, fine. That's now your challenge show. I need you to watch that entire season, like, by next week. Or that entire show by, like, next week.
No, that's not going to happen.
So. No, not going to happen.
Anyway, S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Shotgun X! Woo!
Shotgun X. Even though it was a cleaver.
Yeah.
Duct taped to...
Shotgun cleaver is not quite as does not roll off the tongue.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's still really cool.
Matt got his shotgun axe.
You got his shotgun axe, and it's just great. The look on his face was just fantastic. Shotgun axe.
His brother's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, his brother's like, "What?
Shotgun axe?
I don't know what's going on here." By the way, but if you see something move, shoot it. Preferably not you, and definitely not me.
Yes, I enjoyed Mac and Mini Mac.
Yeah, Mini Mac. Yes, Alfie. Mini Mac.
Alfie?
I want Minnie Mac and Alfie. I want Minnie Mac to join S.H.I.E.L.D. Like we're lacking a second black guy since other dude died last season.
Oh, poor Trip.
There we go, Trip. So let's bring Minnie Mac in, because he's pretty cool, and obviously he's very well aware of everything that's going on right now. So I mean,
it certainly feels like they're setting him up for
him
coming in.
It does.
Maybe getting fish oiled.
Yeah. Maybe. At first I thought since the Watchdogs were going after Trip and not Trip, damn it. Tank and Dozer, that that I'm like, huh, is Mac's little brother an inhuman? Nope, they're just trying to get Mac, because sure, that makes sense.
they're a hate group, and they assume because he's black, he must be a bad
wrong
guy.
Hate group. These guys have wolf masks, not white sheets. It's a big difference.
I don't know, man. They were clearly making some parallels there.
Yeah, they were, but it's just like, that made no sense. Like, if the intel was about a little girl, I would have killed you by now. Huh? What?
See, they're assuming that just because she's a woman that she can't have superpowers.
Yeah.
It must be the big, scary black guy.
Exactly. The only superpower he has is duct taping a thing to another thing and killing a whole bunch of people.
He does what he's got to do.
Yes.
With his shotgun axe. Because he's Mac. And he's awesome.
Yes. Again, I don't want to understate how cool Fitz was in this. Like, he's playing the diversion well, he's playing the badass well, he's getting real good with that gun.
Yeah, he's a solid field agent these days.
Yeah, speaking of guns, Simmons, like, getting angry that she's that they keep casting her into the damsel in distress thing. So...
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm done. I'm starting learning to shoot stuff because I can't kill anybody with my bare hands like all of the other women here.
Yes. So. I do like how she she addresses the fact that, hey, there's a bunch of really strong women around me and I'm just smart. I have a feeling they're going to do something further with her character. I don't know what yet, but I think by the end of the season, something is going to drastically change her character.
Yeah, yeah. She's coming in under May's wing, so...
Yeah, I have a feeling training. It's either going to be some kind of training, or maybe, since we had a Deathlok reference in this one, maybe some cybernetics, since she can use her smarts for that. Because I honestly don't think she's an inhuman.
No, I don't think so either.
It'd be kind of cool to see her as an inhuman, but I don't think she is an inhuman, but I honestly think something major is going to happen to her character by the end of the season. Don't quote me on what, though. Interesting.
Well, they had a nice moment, May and Simmons.
Yeah, I just
training guns, talking about how to find Andrew. They were nice moments.
Yeah, I like how May's just like, yeah, he's evil, so I'm gonna kill him. All right then.
Don't you give me hope.
Yeah, seriously, good for you, May.
Man, tense.
It was, and this entire there's like most of this episode was just really intense. Like,
but I like it.
Mac got shot, though.
Thumbs up, and hooray for Chekhov's dog statue.
Yes. Also, shotgun axe. So, do we have to?
Oh, yeah.
Do we have to? All right. Freaking fine. Gotham! Hold on, where's Daryl's Gotham thing? Oh, this is probably better than the entire show.
Gotham. No, I could do this. Gotham. Prisoners. Apparently Gordon is in general pop with a bunch of people he put away, no doubt. I'm not sure when he put them away, because he's generally a terrible policeman. Meanwhile, Penguin looks like he's going into his own little Cinderella story, with his wicked stepmother and step-siblings having their own plans for their family. I'm guessing his dad's going to die soon.
Yep.
Sooner than you think.
Yeah, right? Again, Gotham has no payoff for anything. Like, they have no way of stringing any plotline along for more than two episodes.
Gordon's just like, in jail, and now he's out of jail.
Yep.
Penguin found his dad. Oh, his dad is dead.
So we were introduced to the siblings really fully this episode, so next episode that'll pay off. Okay, can we stop watching Gotham now? This episode freaking bored the hell out of me. This has somehow got an 8.6 on IMDb, by the way. Somehow. I mean, I can maybe give it a 6. Because anytime Gordon's on screen, I just want to just smash my face into a wall. He's just so terrible. So bad at everything.
I did like the song in the cold open, though, with the prison montage.
Yeah.
I want to find out what song that is.
I mean, yeah, he's taking his dues, whatever, but he's being that prisoner. And it's just like, oh my god.
And then we're going to move you to GP.
Because I'm the corrupt warden, because it's there. Gotham and I have to be corrupt.
I was like, really, warden, did you have to explain that? I mean, I think we know that the jail is full of people that Gordon has arrested.
Yeah, right.
But thanks for explaining.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
For the two people who didn't realize that Gordon is occasionally a cop, mostly just a lunatic, but sometimes a cop. I did like the absurdity of Penguin's family. Like, that's the only reason why this episode was worth watching.
The weirdness there was fun.
Yes.
And seeing Penguin in a tux was also fun.
Yes.
It made me smile.
That was a lot of fun. Watching his stepsister hit on him, watching his stepbrother like, should I try? Like, that made me genuinely
laugh. That was a
laugh
nice out laugh out loud for
yeah,
me.
That exactly. That was
his stepsister tries to seduce him. It doesn't work. It's like, he didn't bite. Should I try?
I'm going to bed if you don't get to use him. Okay. Whatever. I got him.
What?
Daryl talking to me.
Do the thing.
All right. That was fun. And then the weird smoking acid when it hits the ground, but not in the carafe. That doesn't break when it hits the ground, by the way.
It's a nice, sturdy, solid crystal carafe. Decanter, actually, I think.
Yeah, it depends on what you put in it. Whatever.
And then somehow his dad doesn't notice that she's giving him mints instead of pills.
Yeah, right. So, why do these pills taste delicious?
Why are these pills so minty, fresh?
And they're Mentos. Like, this episode of Gotham was brought to you by Altos.
Altoids.
Altoids. Yeah.
The fresh.
No,
curiously strong mints.
Yeah, curiously strong. Yes, fresh makers for Mentos.
Like, my heart keeps getting worse, but my breath is very fresh.
Yes, exactly. Oh my god. Gotham, stop. Just stop. And you know Val Falcone's back in this. We're gonna get more of him. And he's fine. He's fine.
Oh, I
guess.
Love Falcone. He was the best thing about season one.
Yeah.
He's the only good thing about season
true,
one.
True. True. Just.
Well, there's Bullock, too. Bullock,
yeah, Bullock. You had some good Bullock in this episode. Bullock being Bullock, which was good. Yelling at the person on the other line, which was amazing. So here's an idea. Daredevil on the roof yelling at Bullock, who's yelling in the phone. Not Daredevil. Punisher on the roof yelling at Bullock, who's yelling at the phone.
Sure. It sounds good. It works for me. Anything that gives me more Bullock is also great.
Yes, exactly. There was a great, for those who pay attention to these things, there was a great April Fool's Day joke going around from the producers of Gotham of the Flash showing up in Gotham. I could see him showing up and I was like, why is everything so gloomy and horrible and...
Old.
Why do people have cell phones, but those cars are from, like, 63?
What is this place?
I don't understand. But, yes, I kind of don't even want to talk about this episode anymore, so give me your notes. I'm done.
Let's see. To be fair, I never raped anyone.
Yeah. That was, like I said, the things with Penguin were great.
Yeah, for once, finally, Penguin's story is interesting. And
yes.
Gordon's is just dumb. Should we talk about Polk? Polk? Well, Puck.
Puck?
At all.
Right. You're my hero, Jim. I'm not going to die in here. You're going to die, kid.
You're going to die. If you become an enemy, you're going to die. Oh, he died.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Puck.
Yeah.
Sorry.
At least he did. At least, like you said, he made it out of jail. What was his point? Like, there was no point to that character whatsoever. He did not give Gordon hope. He didn't do anything. He literally did nothing but take up, like, 2 minutes worth of screen time.
took up some time, and he made waste more time when he's trying to escape when he went back for him.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you had to.
Then he died anyway.
The final confrontation with corrupt warden man trope guy.
Hmm. I don't know. Maybe he'll show up in Dr. Hugo Strange's dead body tubes.
Maybe. I wonder if, like, I know that character. Like, the name didn't ring a bell to me, and I'm usually pretty good at picking up, hey, it's that guy. No. Puck.
I didn't see anyone saying anything about Puck being a character of any sort.
Who is Puck from The Observer? Are we on Earth 2? What does that mean? Stop. IMDb lists Jason Alexander as the music supervisor on Prisoners. Okay. Not only is Jim in Blackgate Penitentiary under a corrupt warden who looks a lot like the giant from Twin Peaks, is he getting repeatedly menaced by a dude I could have sworn was the rapper Common. Not only is he occasionally getting beaten up alongside his only friend Puck, who low-key definitely wants to smash, but say it with me, womp womp, Lee, of course, miscarried a baby and is dead.
Oh yeah, Lee.
Yeah, Lee.
Oh, he lost the baby and she left. Wow, they wrote her out quick.
Yep, and we're done. Moving on.
And again, Gotham does not pay anything off.
No,
it's just,
never.
Okay.
Well, last episode, I'm pregnant. This episode, done. Jesus, Gotham.
You're done.
Crap.
Wow, that was fast. Okay.
Like,
Ryan Dacron's got better things to do.
Deadpool 2.
You know it.
Oh, God. I'm trying to see if that guy, if I can find Puck's real name anywhere. Like, again, it didn't ring out to me as a Bat Dude villain, so.
So number one, this prison has movie nights.
That show Looney Tunes.
That show Looney Tunes?
No, no, no. For the record, movie nights is pretty standard, if Orange is the New Black tells me anything. So.
Whoa. I just started echoing.
Oh, weird.
And now it's gone.
So, yeah, they do have movie nights from what I understand and from the couple of people I've had communications with that have been in jail.
That just seems like a bad idea, putting a bunch of prisoners in a dark room.
And they even call it out, like, yeah, everybody's in the area, the lights are out, so...
Watch your back.
Watch your back?
Be ready. Be ready. Do you think Bullock's gonna get Riddlered? Because he gave him a look.
When he, yeah, you know, I think he's gonna try
digging in.
I don't think he's gonna actually get it though.
No, can't pull the same trick twice.
No. The episode received positive reviews, with critics praising Rubin's chemistry with Taylor and the episode's comparison to The Shawshank Redemption. What are you people smoking? like seriously.
Penny stuff is good. The Gordon stuff is dumb. It's dumb, but I'm glad that Falcone came back.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's back for good, but clearly Gotham is all screwed up, and we need Falcone to come fix everything. So, let's do that.
Exactly. Peter Davies is Puck's real name.
Peter Davies. I've got no more notes on this, so let's just wrap up.
I'm kind of looking through to see if there's anything. Batman, Peter Davies. Peter Davies, can you get the Batman? Nope, nothing. All right. Screw you, Gotham. I'm seriously kind of almost done with you.
Fair enough.
Better Call Saul!
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Daryl did the thing. We have a thing.
Better Call Saul, Episode 7. And I haven't seen this one yet, so I don't want to spoil it for myself by even reading the description. So it's called Inflatable.
Yeah, it is.
There it is. Yeah, it is.
Because Saul Goodman is inspired by an inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Inflating arm flailing tube man. Yes, exactly.
Inflatable arm flailing tube man. Inflatable arm flailing tube man. Oh my gosh.
Here it is. Found it. Hold on. Wait for it.
Arm flailing tube man, wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man, wacky waving inflatable arm flailing. Hi.
Shut up, Stephanie.
Wacky waving.
Settle down.
So yes, he's by an inflatable. I love this show so much. And people are starting to call Saul out on his crap. It's like, why did you even take the job here? I don't know.
Why did you even waste our time? I wanted to try, but I'm just a square peg. For the record, I think you're a good guy.
For the record, I think you're an asshole.
Saul's just like, her. Jimmy's just like, that's fair.
Yeah, that's actually pretty fair. Got super young Jimmy in this one. Kid Jimmy.
Kid Jimmy at his dad's store with the con man.
Yeah. God, that was fun, and then ended.
Just like, come on, Dad. He's conning you. What if he's telling the truth?
8.7 on IMDb, by the way, and I'm right there with it on that one.
Yeah, I think so. But this one was really all about that montage.
Yes.
That montage.
That montage.
With the light spectrum colors of suits and shirts and ties.
Saul Goodman.
Just beautiful.
Yes. Saul Goodman's wardrobe montage. It's the same thing that Ken went through in Toy Story 3, just differently.
In a way.
So yeah, it was, oh man, no Mike in this episode, which made me sad.
There's a Mike, just a little bit of Mike.
Oh yeah, sure, the very beginning.
At the beginning where he was, you know, with them and talk, you know, changing the gun charge, and then he was with his daughter looking at the new house.
That's true.
Our daughter-in-law. And then at the very end where he, like, pulls into the vacant lot to, like, just watch whatever's going on.
That's true. I forgot about
that. At the Salamanca headquarters. He was there. He didn't do much, but he was there.
Good. Grumpy at Jimmy, which is great.
Grumble at Jimmy.
Which is
good.
Look,
man, this one's on me.
You take the next one and bill me.
And charge and bill me. Okay, fine. You're welcome.
So, yeah, I mean, just Kim doing the resignation thing. Or trying to? Uh-oh, did I lose you?
Sorry. No, I was reading my note and trying to figure out what the heck I was talking about.
What did your note say?
Gun in a bird's beak. And that was just part of Saul's, like, defense thing.
Yes.
It's not his gun either. It's like, well, how did... The only one's fingerprints. So like, well, maybe a bird was carrying into the beak and dropped it. What? Is he threatening you? Or did he pay you off? Don't insult me. We're done here.
I didn't actually take a lot of notes physically or mentally about this episode. So, not that it wasn't a good episode, I just didn't take any notes on this one.
How about Omar?
Omar is looking very sad.
I know. Jimmy's like his hero. He feels bad. It's like, what? You're quitting? I didn't know you were unhappy. I'm not unhappy. I'm just not happy.
Yeah, Omar looked like you kicked his favorite puppy. Like,
I know. It's like, but if you quit, you lose your signing bonus. What? No, never mind.
Yeah, just forget everything that we said here.
All right, look, I never thought I would ever have to say this, but someone using the restroom is not flushing. And it's not a number one. Yes, Aaron, we don't have to go there.
It was me. You don't seriously don't have to say anything.
I said you didn't have to come forward. It's like, no, man. Water shelter's low. We had a conserve. It's like, yeah, they're low flow toilets. Just please, Jimmy.
Oh, man.
Man, he took it far. Fantastic.
How much was
that signing bonus?
Yeah, right? For him to be this big on it. Like, yeah, exactly. What was this signing bonus?
Go this far, and I'll buy the desk. I'll pay off your...
I bought a crap ton of suits. Like,
yeah. How much was the signing bonus? When I'm back at the office with my Coca-Cola desk.
Yes.
My $7,000 desk crammed in here with the water heater.
I think we're going to get the strip mall next. He's going to use that signing bonus to buy a strip mall location that he has in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, or something. Because I'm sure he'll take Kim's proposal.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to be Wexler McGill.
Yes.
He even scribbled it out in his notepad.
I had seen Better Call Saul. I wanted to do the wacky waving and flailing arm flailing tube man bit from Family Guy. I did not recognize it from IMDb description, which I did read from Daryl. Also, go to bed.
Real Daryl, don't you have to work tomorrow? It's like 4 a.m. there, man.
Yeah, really? Or, I mean, yeah, just seriously. I love you, dude. Go to bed. Talk tomorrow. Custom-made Cocobolo desks. I'm curious on how much this is going to run. If 7,000 is a low shot.
7,000 a low-end Cocobolo?
Yeah. Oh, these are gorgeous. You can get a Cocobolo knife, which is kind of cool.
Oh.
A bunch of Cocobolo knives. Yeah, a small side table is $3,000 plus.
Wow.
So, yeah. 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 So that's definitely low. I'm just morbidly curious. I'm like, what are these things actually? Oh, yeah. at least $6,000.
Okay. So, yeah. $7,000 for the desk is about right on the money.
Yeah.
I'll write you a check for it.
I'm lucky enough to get a freaking $400 standing desk at work.
Hey, at least you got that.
Yeah, well, I kind of had to.
Solid state drive.
A doctor's note with my back hurting after the surgery. But, yeah, so, yeah, any other notes on Better Call Saul?
So are you going to be by the book, or are you going to be your more colorful self?
Colorful.
Oh, I'm going to be by the book. Come on, Jimmy.
Be me. I think we're going to try a little bit of the Wexler McGill thing, and then that's going to fall through pretty quickly when they inevitably break up or she dies. I hope she doesn't die. I like her. But like has been hinted, if you're not even mentioned in Breaking Bad, it's like, I sincerely hope you just go your own way and don't die a horrible death.
Better Call Saul.
All right. Anything else?
I guess they're ready. Oh, the rooftop. When Kim, after, you know, she's sitting on the rooftop smoking after her interview, and she has the business card that she tears in half and stuff. It looked really familiar to me. I don't know if it was just the same rooftop or if it just looked familiar as the one at the end of season 4 that Walter sat standing on top of when his plan with Gus goes into effect. But
I don't know.
It just looked really familiar.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It did seem like it was some kind of callback somewhere, but I don't know. I didn't recognize it right off the rip.
Yeah, but I think at least in Jimmy's mind, the Wexler McGill law firm thing was like his way of kind of proposing to her.
Like, yeah,
taking the relationship to the next level. And when she turned him down and suggested, you know, together but separate. You could see a little bit of heartbreak on his face. It's like, aw, it's okay, Jimmy. But you know he's going to go through with it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he got the college guys back to shoot his new commercial.
Yay, college guys!
And I want a dolly this time. What kind of a dolly? I don't know. You're the nerds.
These guys are great. These guys are so great. I want to see them shoot all of his Better Call Saul commercials that you had playing through Breaking Bad too.
Just let them be the recurring characters.
Exactly. Whenever Jimmy needs anything, he just calls those two college nerds.
Going to film school.
I love it.
Working on becoming what your parents paid for you to become.
Exactly. All right. So, anything else before we listen to a quick ad break?
Not on Better Call Saul.
All right.
I really had a lot of fun this episode.
Yeah, this episode was a lot of fun. I just didn't take a lot of notes. So. That montage, though. That's all that matters. All right, so stay with us here for a couple of seconds. Unlike some other podcasters, I don't just interrupt people with ad breaks. So here's a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, listeners. Do you know why I spend $3,000 a month on my Derrick Rose Otis boxer shorts? It's because there's nothing in life so important as decent support. I don't want my coin purse to be split in half by poorly fitting underpants, or have my family jewels left swaying in an easterly wind by a loose caboose. No, we all need our nuts, nards, nuggets and balls to be caressed like man plums in a beautiful woman's grip. And you can be that support. Not for my fellas, but for these good chaps at Geek.io. These hairy acorns are in desperate need of financial underwear, and you can help by going to geek-io.net/support to throw them a few bones. Or simply click on a referral link. They may even save you some money in the process. Remember, geek-io.net/support, and you too can be holding their veiny plums in your figurative hands.
I love that one so much. All right, and we're back. Second part of the show is where we discuss, of course, the challenge shows.
The challenge shows. And make sure you support us so we can get our own Cocobolo desks.
Exactly. I want nothing more than a Cocobolo desk. So the challenge shows are where you kind of take a show that we've been talking about or that we've been watching that we don't necessarily talk about on the show. We kind of just give a little wrap-up of it. Jazz, have you watched anything?
No, I didn't watch anything other than four shows that I was supposed to watch. I'm very sorry.
All right, then.
I didn't even get to watch a movie this week.
Oh, wow.
It was a busy weekend.
Oh, wow.
But I do have this for this weekend.
What is this? Ah, yes.
See, I could be watching this now, but instead I'm here with you.
Oh, poor thing.
Okay,
I got to pick mine up. I'm low on cash, so I'm going to pick mine up when I get paid.
And I pre-ordered it on Amazon like a month ago. And I just saved it today. I love the pre-ordering on Amazon. It's a dangerous thing for me.
Yes, exactly. So I am going to talk about what I said I was going to talk about last week. Hey, people, I actually go through with some of the things that I say that I'm going to do. I'm going to discuss. Hold on, I can do this. 1 second. That one. And hold on, I got this. Graphics. I want to do this because I want to do it. Geek.io logos. I should probably have thought about doing this beforehand. But, you know, where's the fun in that?
Don't worry. You'll be done in a flash.
Exactly.
Ooh, that's big.
That's what she said. So, yes, the Supergirl and Flash crossover happened. And this is how you do heroes meeting for the first time and talking and not trying to kill each other. And this episode was everything that I possibly wanted it to be and more. You have the birth of the Silver Banshee, which is a really, really big Supergirl villain. And you also have Livewire back. The Flash is transporting around with this weird thing on his chest that they haven't explained yet in the Flash TV show, but I'm sure it'll get there. He mentioned that he's been traveling the multiverse, so I'm sure that'll get in there somewhere.
What?
Yeah.
That piques my interest.
Like,
go on.
He's talking to Baby Toymaker, and like Baby Toymaker's like, "Is there an Earth where we're all villains?" And Flash is like, "Yes, I've been there. It sucks." But yeah, it's just this great one-off. Like, and only it only has any kind of repercussions to the end to the entire season in the last 15 seconds. The rest of it is just fun. It is just so much fun seeing the Flash just randomly show up, save Supergirl, is confused as all hell as to where he's at. this was just so much fun, and it kind of felt like he was poking fun at Batman versus Superman, especially with the show title "World's Finest," which is the Batman and Superman crossover thing. So it just seems like it was just like rubbing salt in the wound of, in the very money-laden wound of Zack Snyder. Hey, we can have heroes join up and holy crap, they just realize that they're both heroes and they don't want to punch each other's faces.
They punch for a bit.
No.
And then they're mates.
I mean, Flash and Supergirl don't punch each other.
I know.
At all. They're straight up just immediately BFFs, like, and that's exactly what I wanted. It's just,
you're super fast, I'm super fast, oh, let's go,
yay. You know, that's pretty much what it was. You're not that far off. Hey, how did you do that?
Are you good?
How did you do that? Got hit by lightning. I'm an alien. You're an alien. That's awesome.
You're an alien.
Yeah, Barry's like, ah, crap. Literally, this is what happens. Ah, crap. I'm on the wrong world. Just takes off his mask. I'm Barry Allen, and, can you help me get home? It is.
So it's like the same universe, but different universe?
No, it's a different Earth.
Thing?
She's on, yeah, okay. Like, they're trying to figure out, she is part of the multiverse.
So there's a multiverse.
Now. Yes, there's a multiverse, and it's gonna happen, stuff will happen, don't worry. The multiverse gets explained at the very end of season one. But there is a multiverse. He goes to Earth 2. There's two or three episodes where they have shenanigans in Earth 2. And they kind of go through, like, when they're doing the montage of all of the other Earths flying by. And they kind of throw out the term Infinite Earths, which for DC people, huge freaking deal. And they also throw out, you know, basically kind of hinting at, hey, it would really suck if there was some kind of crisis that happened on multiple Earths. Yes!
Yeah. Well played. Well played. So in this case, Flash could definitely show up on Gotham.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I kind of want to see that happen. it is entirely possible since it is part of the DCEU, and they've went on record basically said, like, the DCEU is everything. It is the comics, it is the movies, it is the shows, it is the animated series, but each of those is on their different Earths. The Earth 1 of the Flash TV series is not Earth 1 proper. The Earth 2 is still Earth 2 because it still has Jay Garrick there and everything like that. But the Earth 1 is not the Earth 1.
Right on. Okay, so even in that case, then Flash from TV could show up and be movie Flash.
Yeah, if Zack Snyder doesn't have anything to do with it, yes. Because, and I quote from, this is a direct quote from Zack Snyder, he's too shiny and colorful for the universe I'm trying to build. That is a direct quote from Zack Snyder. And I just kind of want to slam my head into the desk really bad after hearing him say that.
Yeah, he is not the man for the job.
Okay. No, he really is not.
That's a discussion for another time.
After we inevitably see Batman vs. Superman when it comes on HBO, because I am not going to the theaters and seeing that. God, no. But yes, I mean, this was fun, it was funny. You got Supergirl and James hooking up because he thinks that she and Barry are doing it because he's like, oh crap, this is another metahuman, and like, their superhero is doing their superhero thing together, and oh no. And they end up hooking up, and then that's where the rest of the story continues actually being paid attention to. The only person I didn't really like in this episode was Cat Grant. She was just basically, like, out of her, like, everything she did in this episode was out of character for her. Like, she was begging for her own life. She was being really super nice to Kara. And, like, it just was really weird seeing her as a human being. But when she's not touted to be that, it just feels out of character. But that's not bad. If I were to give it a Tito rating, I really liked it a lot, so I mean, I'd give it probably 9, because it doesn't actually pay any attention, but it doesn't need to the rest of the season.
Ah,
it is a very fun one-shot, and that's exactly what I wanted. So, good job on being the superhero team-up that DC deserves.
Put my Flash in all of the things.
Exactly. So, before we wrap up, I want to point everybody over to, I actually did a podcast with our friend of the network, Bill Meeks, and his amazing wife, Anne Marie. Greetings from Storybrooke, their Once Upon a Time podcast. I was on that last week. Those who know I have a certain weird love for Once Upon a Time, but we don't discuss it here, so like, I really have nowhere to vent my frustrations, and it's obvious that I had 5 years worth of frustrations to vent up that I actually could yell at the internet for when I was on this podcast. So you can get that from greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. That is greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. Big thanks to Bill Meeks and Marie for having me on. Greatly appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Indeed. So go listen to the CJ yell at the internet about Once Upon a Time, the way the Punisher yelled at Daredevil.
You're not entirely incorrect in that. I just happened to be on like one of the worst episodes. Like, they do an episode by episode discussion of it. I just happened to be on the show that was like one of the worst episodes of the entire series. So I got to be classic CJ ranty goodness. So you can reach us, geekioshow@gmail.com. Twitter and Facebook are both /geekioshow. You can give us a call on our geek hotline at 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK, our site, which has all of our shows and more, when I remember from geek-io.net/spoilershow. And you can, of course, support the network by going over to patreon.com/geekio or geek-io.net/Amazon.
Indeed. And I did go into the notes and delete some weird special characters so that when we cut and pasted it this week, it wouldn't break again. Because the one that you posted also broke it.
Yay!
It's that one. It still hasn't updated in cast, but hey, maybe eventually it will. I did check right before
now it's time to
we started
see
recording.
How...
And,
sorry.
Whoa. And it was working. So, show titles. Punisher yelling at superheroes on rooftops. Whitney Frost humping nukes. Agent of Korra.
Hold on.
Chekhov's.
Julie
does the thing.
Julie, do the thing.
Do the thing.
Chekhov's dog statue. My heart is bad, but my breath is fresh. Gun in a bird's beak. Dat montage doe. The earth where we're all villains. And CJ Ranty Goodness.
Yay, CJ Ranty Goodness.
I don't know what to pick.
Yeah, this is not as kind of like just the Punisher yelling at superheroes or rooftops.
No, I always hate the longer titles for some reason, but I'm okay with this.
All right, that's what the title's going to be. All right, folks, on that note, we will see you next week right here on said small screen spoiler show. Anything else while I reach for the icon that my soundboard is on and play the thing?
Do the thing!
This has been a podcast of the Geek IO Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.